Coming up next on Functional Moms Podcast.
What are your thoughts on training in a fasted state?
Popular question. Personally, I do not train well in a fasted state. There is a lot more research coming out showing that women do train better in a fed state, especially when we're entering our 40s, again, with some of those hormonal fluctuations. But I also understand, as a busy mom and a working mom, sometimes the only time women have to work out is in that early morning time, and they can't get in a full breakfast. So what we do here is I encourage, if you can get something in, so whether it be a scoop of protein powder in your coffee, if that's how you start your day, if you can get a little bit of a carbohydrate in, I'm a big fan of overnight oats. So if you can put that in and have a little bit of that before your workout.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast. Lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms.
If you're a woman over 40 looking to build muscle and achieve sustainable fat loss, we all know how hard this can be. And today we are going to get some great tips and solutions.
Katie Kutnick is a health and fitness coach who faced debilitating back injury. She fought back, rebuilt her strength, and transformed her life. She now channels that same determination into empowering women over 40, showing them that it's possible to achieve incredible results and make meaningful changes at any stage of life.
Through her program, Renew 40, Katie helps guide women in their 40s to lose up to 20 pounds, build lean muscle, regain their confidence. Featured in Strong Fitness magazine, Katie combines her personal experience with her professional expertise to focus on balanced nutrition, strength training, and hormone health. She also leads the Healthy Sports Mom community, where she supports busy moms staying fit and healthy while raising active kids.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Katie. We would love to start by hearing your inspiring story of overcoming a debilitating injury and then getting incredibly fit in your 40s.
Thank you so much, Kristen and Raquel, for having me here today. I'm super excited to share my journey, my story, and to give tips to other women in their 40s who can benefit. So yeah, my journey started back in 2018. I had struggled with a significant back injury. I had severe disc herniation, which was thought to have been caused by a skiing injury back in my early 20s. And at that time in my 20s, I was basically just given painkillers, muscle relaxers, no formal assessment, and sent on my way. So 20 years later, I wake up with significant pain. It was kind of a slow onset of it, and I could barely walk. Yeah, so multiple evaluations at that point, and I found a physician who really was in line with my way of health, and I really did not want to have spinal surgery. I did not think that that would fix the problem. I knew that there could be possible things later down the line that wouldn't help in my life. So I had 6 spinal epidural injections, and I worked with a physical therapist for about a year. And then after that, I really needed to focus on getting stronger again. So I finally stepped back into a gym and picked up those weights.
Wow. Tell me again how old you were when all this went down.
I was 38 years old when this happened. I have 2 children. So my kids were 8 and 10 at that point. So yeah, it was a challenging time as a mom. It never stops. You have to be there for them. You have to be able to take care of them. And that was probably one of the biggest emotional struggles, was just not being able to move and get around as easy as we need to be as moms.
Sure. And I can't imagine. So you're basically starting from scratch in the gym at that point, because you had been recovering, I guess, from all the epidurals and the treatments. And so I guess tell us a little more about that.
Yeah. So stepping into the gym, it took me about 6 months before I actually got back into the gym. And I started working with a personal trainer because it was important for me to use correct form when starting off with weightlifting. I also had some reservations about doing certain lifts. I was told that I maybe shouldn't do things with my back ever. And I wanted to work with somebody who would help me overcome that because I'm able to lift anything now. It's not true. You can make changes at any time in your life.
Mm-hmm. That is such a great, great and important message because Kristen and I have spoken so much about one of the biggest fears is women fearing to train because they're afraid of getting injured. And so then they don't do anything and they don't realize that they're doing more damage than good. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's such a great story that you have there.
Yeah, I think there's the fear of injuring themselves. There's also the fear of getting too bulky, you know, with our strength training, you know, and it's hard to put on that amount of muscle. I have such a greater respect for it these days to be able to really bulk up. You know, we just don't have the amount of testosterone in our body to really do that. You really, really have to work hard to be able to get there. So, and I think what I want to communicate to women is that you're not going to get bulky. You are going to build that word that we all like, that tone, that lean muscle look by strength training. That's how you get it.
Yeah, I know. And you hear so much of women that are like, I just want to be skinny. I'm like, really? You want to be skinny? To me, like skinny is weak. Like, I mean, do you get that? Like, would you rather like the word fitness, maybe, you know, what it is that they're saying they don't want to be bulky. They're afraid of like, you know, building too much muscle or something. And
it's kind of crazy because just this morning, my daughter's 13 and she plays a lot of sports. She plays ice hockey. And she was telling me she's been experimenting with doing a little bit of strength training. And she said to me in the car this morning on the way to school, I don't want to get too many muscles. And I was thinking like, first of all, where's she getting that message even, you know,
right.
Like, and it kind of blew my mind because I was thinking, man, aren't we overcoming this whole thing? And there she is like 13 telling me like, I don't want to be too muscular like that. And I'm like, well, but you want strong, like strength, so you don't get injured while you're playing ice hockey. And, you know, I was trying to explain the background on it and that she's not going to become some kind of like jacked 13-year-old girl. Like, I don't know.
I'd be curious. I want you to ask her, like, why does she say that? Like, where does she think she's getting this message from? Make sure you ask her. Say Raquel wants to know.
I'm going to guess TikTok because she was looking at a TikTok workout where a girl was showing, and they were good exercise. I mean, it was, you know, core conditioning, strength for planks and things like that. It was not bad stuff, like as she showed me, but
maybe the girl that she was looking at looked a little too muscular for her taste or something like that.
Perhaps. Yeah. I'm
right.
Sure. But anyway, I'm just putting it out there that this myth is still out there amongst everybody, I guess.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. But you know, there's more reasons why women should train. And can you share with us why strength training is, in your opinion, is so important for women 40 plus?
Yeah, absolutely. Strength training, I think, is going to be like our really foundation form of exercise because we are losing muscle mass as we age. There's more benefits than just the aesthetic look of what muscles do for you. We know that it aids in weight loss. We know that it helps support fat loss. But right. There's things to consider as we're getting old, such as bone density, such as supporting our metabolism, such as confidence and stress reliever. You know, strength training to me is an antidepressant too. It's like a free drug for me. And it's
medicine for the brain.
Medicine for the brain. Yes, it is something that we can do to prevent taking medicine as we age. So there's a lot of importance to it. And, you know, another reason I do it, one, obviously my injury, this has completely changed my life. I feel alive again. I feel hopeful that I can take care of myself for long, to be there for my kids, to hopefully play with my grandkids someday, to get down on the ground. And I think also being a role model for my kids. So just like you said, your daughter, you know, I want to be skinny. I have the conversation with my daughter about being strong as an athlete and being strong. You know, my daughter is 10, she's almost 11, and there's already conversation about weight and things at such a young age. And I think it's really important to show them, you know, we want to build strong, not skinny anymore.
I love that. That's a great message. And so I guess, can you share a little bit, why do we struggle so much after 40 to lose that fat? I mean, we know our hormones do play a role, but what do you think is the reasoning behind all that and why it's so hard to build the muscle?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasonings here. Yes, we are having some potential hormone fluctuations. So we are having changes in our estrogen production, our progesterone, our testosterone. And so estrogen kind of acts like our testosterone. So when that starts declining, you know, we're already losing muscle mass. So we need to support that by strength training, and specifically strength training on using progressive overload principles. So using things like lifting heavier, increasing your sets, as well as increasing your time under tension. So yes, we want to lift heavy. We want to lift heavy enough so that we're really lifting with intensity. Those last 2 to 3 reps should be really hard. You should not be able to go right into your next set after you finish one. You know that you need that rest period in between. And so we want to work on those progressive overload principles to build those muscles for metabolism, for overcoming some of those hormone changes, or managing our weight, fat loss. Belly fat, that's a big one that comes on. Our body starts changing, our body composition starts changing. And this is really the foundation for body composition, is to improve your overall body strength.
So when you say progressive overload, can you explain exactly what that looks like to just someone that maybe doesn't think about that when they work out?
Yeah, you know, there's so many workout programs out there online now. And when I think about progressive overload, it's really a structured strength training program where we are focusing on, I design my programs where you start with those compound movements. So these are things where you're using multiple joints throughout the entire range of the motion of the exercise. So this things like squats, deadlifts, pull-ups, presses, rows, I'll even throw hip thrusts in there. So we are going to start with those lifts, and we are going to focus on perfecting our form with them. And then we're going to focus on lifting heavier as we get our form. So progressive overload can happen in a couple ways. You can increase the number of sets. You can increase the weight on it. And then you can use things like tempos. So your time under tension. So this might look like, I'll take the example of a squat, and you will work on a 30-10 tempo where you are lowering for 3 seconds and coming up on 1 second. So you are changing that time under tension while you're doing the lift, instead of just working through it quickly or bouncing through the motion. We really want to focus on that time under tension to build that muscle.
So, and you would recommend then doing all of those things for, but not all at once, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Not all at once. So that's where that structured design program comes into play, where we are working on following a program for 4 to 6 weeks, focusing on the same moves, the same program. And so that over, for one, you can perfect your form. And then on week 2, week 3, week 4, you can work on increasing the weights. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the hard part, I find, is it's very, very challenging for women, especially the 40 plus woman, to get in her mind. First of all, they're so used to doing a circuit and doing like 15 reps, you know, and for them to understand to go heavier, peel back on the reps, and they need that rest in between. Till this day, I can't get a woman to like push heavy weight so heavy that she will have to rest. And she's like, she wants to go right into the next thing. You know, there, it's been, we've been so conditioned with the cardio based type of training.
Absolutely.
It's so hard for women to, and I was one of them. And, but now I do, I love, you know, I just did a little video where I was like, I was pushing 40 pound dumbbells. I was shooting for 3 reps and I actually made 4, which was cool. But, you know, I'm not going to turn around and do that again 2 seconds later. Like,
no way. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, you know, obviously you guys are both personal trainers. I am a person that always worked out, but I think that this is a little bit difficult for me to get my head around. Like, and I have switched things this year, certainly, to doing, getting rid of the 15 rep thing, going more to like 8 reps. But as far as like really pushing myself, I think I get hesitant still. I'm not going to lie.
Right. Because you said that you were afraid of getting hurt, you said.
Yes. Like, I think I still have that fear. Like, right. Well, what if I try to push these 40s and I, you know, do something to myself and I don't feel confident. And so I do think working with the trainer is huge, because it gives you that confidence to push yourself.
Yeah, I think it is huge. And the thing is like, sometimes people think like, oh, I can't afford a trainer. But sometimes, like, even if you just get the ball rolling. Absolutely. With the trainer, like, just to get the ball rolling. And obviously you're not going to go right to 40s. You're going to, you know, I've worked my way up to that point, right?
Yes.
Which actually brings us to, how often do you feel that this woman that we're speaking of, how much should be training, like, per week? Like, what's your recommendation?
Yeah, I would say anywhere from 3 to 4 times per week. Workouts under 60 minutes. You know, again, this is a change from the 5 to 6 day a week cardio burn circuit training are, you can get effective workouts working out just 3 to 4 times a week with a structured program. You need those rest days in between to support muscle growth and recovery. Without that, you could be potentially overtraining and not seeking the results that you are striving for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was another one of our questions, actually, was like, can you overtrain? We've heard a lot about people saying if you're working out really hard a lot of days a week, and for women in their 40s, like your cortisol could get too high. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that cortisol is a buzzword right now. There's a lot of talk about it. Yes, it is a thing. And I think it's very individualized. There's a lot of research out there on what we should do for working out. Yes, there's the too much cardio is going to increase our cortisol. There's, you know, don't do any of it. You shouldn't. And what I have come to find is that we do need cardio, and HIIT training is okay. It is okay to stress our body out. It is how often we are doing that is going to be the factor. So some HIIT training 1 to 2 times a week is fine. In my opinion, it's fine to do that. We need to have that for heart health. It has great fitness for bone health, jumping and things like that on our joints is good. I think the primary of our exercise training should be focusing on building muscle, especially as we're entering our 40s, and then sprinkling in some of those intense cardio. I'm also a huge fan of walking. Of daily walking and daily movement can be really powerful for our health, not only for that steady state cardio, but also for things like stress relief, getting out in nature, getting that movement in. If we're sedentary and sitting at our desk all day, we need to get up and keep that body moving throughout the day.
Yeah. Now, when you say HIIT training, I just want to ask for people that don't know what that is, because some people may not be familiar. Could you just explain like what that would look like?
Yeah. So intense training. So I like to do 15 minutes of it where it is either a sprint, a bicycle, or like a rowing machine or something where you are going hard for 30 seconds and then taking a break for 30 seconds and then going hard again for 30 seconds and doing this as long as maybe 15 or 16 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said like 1 to 2 times a week for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about HIIT training and just lifting heavier, building muscles so that we increase some metabolism. What do you think, like with the experience that you've had, are some of the top reasons why women over 40 struggle to lose fat and build muscle?
Yeah. So I think, well, number one, the primary driver of fat loss is our nutrition strategy. So we need to have that in place. And I think what's hard about that is knowing what to eat and how much to eat to support fat loss. So
I think it's really tricky. Yeah. And there's so many different voices out there, you know, spewing different messages that you get very confused.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of nutrition confusion out there. Myself, I fell into a lot of different things. I have tried a lot of different things to manage my weight. When I was going through the back injury and couldn't do as much of the exercise, I actually did go through a period of keto and carb cycling. And what I will say about these things is that I think they can be a tool. A short-term tool. What I experienced with it was I initially had some weight loss. I initially had improved energy, but what ended up happening to me was that I started to have thinning of my hair. I started to wake up in the middle of the night. When I was able to strength train, I was not able to build muscle mass on this. So it is not something that I think we should stick with long-term, but if it is something that we need to reduce some weight, maybe we've got some blood sugar issues going on, it can be a tool that is used short term.
Yeah, I have to say, I had the same experience. I did keto for a bit and I found results first, and then I had plateau. And I noticed, and I started getting into the intermittent fasting stuff, and it was working. And then my hair started falling out. And I noticed like a huge difference. Like it just wasn't working anymore. And wow. I really had to, yeah, no, I think that's a real thing, that it's just too much, too hard on the body, you know, and it could be a tool, like you said, maybe to kickstart or could, you know, maybe confuse your body a little bit, but as far as sticking with it.
And depending on what's going on, yeah, with hormone health, you know, some women with PCOS might benefit from this strategy initially, but I think, you know, going back to that nutrition confusion is finding out what you need to eat, how much you need to eat to support that fat loss. So fat loss principles are being in a calorie deficit, but not being being so far in a deficit that you can't sustain it for a period of 12 to 16 weeks. So that's what I look at as the gold standard, is taking your body weight and multiplying it by 10 or 12 to get a calorie deficit. And then you are going to build your plate based off of, I start with the protein. So calculating your protein, a good rule of thumb is about 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. So setting your protein at that, and then putting your fats in there. So somewhere between 50 to 60 grams of fat. Again, this is going to vary, depend on your specific starting point, and then filling in with your carbohydrates to meet that total calorie intake. So this, through my experience, has been the best way to support fat loss, is eating that balanced plate and eating meals and not snacking throughout the day.
Yeah. So I like it how you just laid out a formula that you could follow. So you're saying you take the body weight you want to be and multiply it by 10 or 12. Is that what you said?
You're going to start by taking your current body weight, multiplying that by 10 or 12, to get your calorie deficit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your current weight. And then you're going to take get about 50 to 60 grams of fat. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yep. Somewhere around there.
Somewhere in that range.
You're going to want to set your protein about 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. And you want to do your ideal body weight with your protein setting.
Ideal body weight. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that can be overwhelming for people when they look at how high that number is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To it, especially if you haven't been eating anywhere near close to what you should be eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so what do you recommend people do on that?
Well, I would recommend starting with planning out your meals. So getting in at least 3 to 4 meals a day. So a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, a snack. And then with strength training, having a post-workout where you're getting that protein and that carbohydrate into your body right after the workout. I like to get it within 30 minutes of that workout.
So what are your thoughts on training in a fasted state?
Popular question. Personally, I do not train well in a fasted state. There is a lot more research coming out showing that women do train better in a fed state, especially when we're entering our 40s, again, with some of those hormonal fluctuations. But I also understand, as a busy mom and a working mom, sometimes the only time women have to work out is in that early morning time, and they can't get in a full breakfast. So what we do here is I encourage if you can get something in. So whether it be a scoop of protein powder in your coffee, if that's how you start your day, if you can get a little bit of a carbohydrate in, I'm a big fan of overnight oats. So if you can put that in and have a little bit of that before your workout, those are some ways to get something into your body that will really support better training in your workout.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great tip, because we've had a lot of controversy with this. Well, just people saying, I can't do this, I can't eat before my morning workout. And we had Dr. Stacey Sims on the show, and she had said that she recommends being fed. And she does that, I believe. I think she said she puts protein powder in, like her coffee she preps
in her coffee or something. Yep.
Exactly. So she has a little bit of something to fuel herself. So that is a good tip, because some people, I think, are thinking, I can't just throw down a plate of eggs and bacon before I go work out. They're not going to do that. It's too much. So
that would be a tip for if you are one of those women that work out super early. This would be what I would recommend to try to get in your body. If you have more time, then I would suggest more of a full breakfast where you're having the protein, carbohydrate, a little bit of fat in there too.
And then you would refuel after the workout, is what you said, about 30 minutes.
Yep. I recommend a post-workout meal within 30 minutes of the workout to restore, protein synthesis, breakdown. It's going to help your recovery. It's going to improve muscle soreness afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I know that also in your program, you also tackle the whole hormonal part of the equation, which is very challenging. Yes. And can you tell us a little bit about that? What roles do the hormones play for us and in training and meeting our goals?
Sure. Yeah. So everyone, I think, is individual with where they are at with their hormones.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that we can do naturally to work with our hormones. So I always encourage women to start with our nutrition, our strength training, looking at other factors like our sleep, our stress management, because that plays a big role in things mindset could potentially be changing. So if we look at, like I said before, the estrogen and progesterone levels changing. So by strength training, we're going to support our, you know, by strength training, you're not just going to improve your estrogen. That's not exactly how it works, but the strength training will build that muscle mass to support things like your metabolism that might be changing because of the declining estrogen. Mm-hmm. So that's how strength training can improve our hormones and manage that piece of it. The other piece of it with the progesterone declining, this can affect our sleep. So taking a look at, again, we can't just change it by the nutrition or change it by the strength training, but putting things into place to support our sleep habits. So getting into a bedtime routine, you know, I think the biggest challenge women have is waking up in the middle of the night when those perimenopause symptoms start changing and not being able to fall back asleep. So if that becomes really a struggle, even after changing nutrition, changing up our strength training, working on the sleep habits, working on setting routines up, then it's certainly something that I encourage women to work with a practitioner on getting some things tested and seeing if they can be put on something like hormone replacement therapy to support those things. Because sleep is very important for multiple things. Sleep is going to support building muscle mass. It's going to support our mood. It's going to support our energy. It's also going to support blood glucose regulation and cortisol regulation. So getting all these things into place is important. So I would say what I work on with women is getting the basics down, really nailing the basics, looking at nutrition that is going to support fat loss and weight management, looking at nutrition that is going to support building muscle mass. I will say from my experience from the keto and the carb cycling world, once I added in a balanced plate where I was eating carbohydrates with every meal, I was sleeping much better.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I was just going to ask really quick about tracking. So because you kind of gave us specific macros to look at, like a protein target, a fat target, how do you recommend people keep track of that? And what about people that hate to track? What do you
do? Yes. Yeah, I want to hear that one.
Yes. So I used a macro tracker for a long time and I hated it because what I felt like I was always playing catch up with it. Like I either didn't hit my protein. So then when it came to the nighttime, I was just snacking on things to hit protein, but I wasn't really recognizing that I was going over in calories then. Mm-hmm. So, or I was going over in fat or something like that, even though I was using a macro tracker, it just didn't work for me. And I was so mm-hmm. sick of inserting things every day, even though I knew you could insert it ahead of time. It just felt like a big headache to me. So what I have learned to do is really setting up this meal plan like I described to you before. So what I am doing is I am setting up how much protein I need to have with my breakfast. So I'm around like 30 grams and I will measure that out and weigh it out on a scale. So I did this for a period of time where I weighed out my proteins, my fats, and my carbs to really know what I needed to build my plate. And that was the biggest education for me, was learning what my portion sizes were. I think it's invaluable. And now there are times where I will still measure because I do phase my nutrition based on my strength training goals. I'm not in a fat loss phase. I don't believe that you should stick in a fat loss phase forever. You need to phase that nutrition out. You need to hang out in maintenance. You need to potentially go into a surplus to build more muscle mass. So that was the biggest thing that I learned in switching from tracking with a macro tracker to actually weighing out my food and nailing my portions down.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it's hard to know what you're really consuming. It's really hard. You can't just guess. You're not going to be able to figure it out if you're just guessing.
No. Yeah. And so I wasn't, you know, one piece I want to say about it too, is that I wasn't measuring every day. I would set aside 1 to 2 days out of the week to meal prep. So I would batch cook my proteins, batch cook my carbs, measure them out into meals so that I could just grab and go during the week. I could grab my lunches. I had a plan for dinner in place, and it was easy to feed myself and hit my goals as well as feed my family.
Yeah, that's important too. Mm-hmm. Really important.
Yeah. And I think if you, like, you make that good point, that great point, if you measure it out in the beginning, you can then at a certain point, you already know what it looks like and you can eye it out and it just becomes so much easier. And then even if you're dining out, you really have a clue.
Yeah.
You're not a sitting duck. And you're basically controlling the things you can control. And so that's really great. Something that we haven't tapped into is if you can tell us about your sports mom community. Kristen and I are both sports moms, and we would love to hear what that's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a sports mom. I have a daughter who will be 11 who plays soccer and basketball. My son is going to be 13 and he is in football, basketball, baseball. So we are always in a sport year round. And I think one of the biggest struggles in a sports mom is I think the meal that's the hardest is the dinner meal because it seems like there's never a good time to sit down for dinner. We're either eating at 4 p.m. or 8 or 9 p.m., right? There's just not a good time. So having a plan in place for that has really been a good strategy for me and my family. And so in starting up a community of other sports moms, I wanted to be able to provide what I've used that's helped me. So in that sports community, we share meal prepping and meal planning recipes that people have found to be helpful feeding their kids and feeding themselves. And I share some actionable tips about how we can hit those fat loss and weight loss goals and still feed our children.
Wow. That's awesome. I love that. I feel like that is such a struggle to be able to find meals that you can quickly serve at all kinds of random times. To your point, we do the 4 o'clock dinner. Then we do, sometimes we have like two dinners. It's like 4 o'clock and then 8 o'clock. They're eating again after practice.
Yeah. They're hungry before and then they need like a full meal afterwards too. So that's where my batch cooking and having things in place where I can quickly make some meals really is a savior for me.
It's so awesome. And so where can people find more information about that program?
So it's a Facebook group, the Fit Sports Moms Community. So you can find me on Facebook. I'm Katie Kutnick. Otherwise, you can just search for Fit Sports Mom Community.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. And what do you also address, like when Kristen and I were talking about this before you came on, we were just talking about how a lot of us sports moms end up sitting in the car waiting for our kids or watching them, you know, in the bleachers or something.
Yeah,
and
we were saying
a lot of sitting around.
Very unhealthy style sometimes. Yeah.
You know, personally for me, because I am in fitness anyway, so, you know, well, I would be outside. I'd have like dumbbells in my car. I'd have like a band. I have my jump rope. And so I would like work out at my car when my son's in there practicing, you know? And so I would do things like that or go for a run or something. I would try to do something. And then Kristen was saying you do some work in your car.
Yeah. Like if it's in a good area where I am at and there's access, like I'll walk around. I'm at ice hockey rinks usually, so not fields. But yes, like if it's a good area, I'll go for a walk, which is awesome. But I hadn't thought to put dumbbells in my car, which I thought that was really good advice. And I do try to pack like protein snack or something because sometimes you get stuck on the road for so long and I don't want to be like hitting Starbucks.
The vending machines.
And the vending machine. And yeah, exactly. Around me, there's never healthy options.
So. Yeah. And Kristen, do you remember a while back? I think it was like last year when you did a little video. She was at, I think it was your daughter's practice or something. Yeah. And you did a video. We took a picture of the vending machine. This is for families and their kids in sports. It's like Snicker bars. And I mean, complete junk.
It was all candy and chips and Gatorade. And there literally wasn't one healthy thing in that machine. And that's what we're all stuck with, right? When we're stuck at, you know, for hours at practice or games or tournaments, there's not a lot of options there.
Yeah. We also talk about that. I just actually created, because I'm on the road sometimes going to tournaments where, you know, as much as I try to pack cool and plan ahead and do all those things.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm being real, there's not always that option, right? So I just created my top 10 fast food options greater than 20 grams of protein, under 500 calories. So I recently shared that for when we are on the road, even after practice some nights, you know, there are just some of those nights where you need something quick. And
100%. Yeah.
I really have come to the point in my life where I have no food restriction anymore. I know what I need to eat 90% of the time, but 10% of the time I eat what I love and what I enjoy. And there is space for that.
Yes. It's like, I know these M&M sucks, but this ones have peanuts in it.
Yeah, right.
Is that protein?
We just had a guest that was talking about restrictions right?
Yes. And how it can lead, it's the number one predictor of binging, or not binging, like emotional eating is what they said. Yeah. Restriction create that kind of emotional eating. And that's a whole thing in itself.
Yeah. I think, you know, kind of what I was talking about before, this nutrition confusion, this what to eat. I think there was a period of time where I really labeled food as good and bad and did restrict, which I will say emotionally, yes, that led to binge eating and led to feelings of guilt and shame afterwards too. And I have completely taken that out of my life through this new experience that I've had with fat loss and how to balance my plate and having space for food freedom. It has been the most freeing thing in my 40s. I wish I would have done this years ago. It also is a good role model to my children too, to know that we can have these things, but how to manage it. Because I will say, I don't know that I ever had that growing up and really knowing how to manage it and how to build my plate. And so this has been, it has been life-changing for me, not only for myself, for my children and my family too.
Yeah. I have to make an acknowledgement, Kristen, right here, right now. Everything that we're talking about right now really has to do with the all or nothing mindset, dropping the all or nothing mindset. Like, I just love how Katie's talking about like preparing and, you know, the best thing to do is like to think ahead, like plan your meals ahead and all of these things. And then the other side of the token, you're also saying, hey, you know what? Let's be real. We're running around, you know, with our kids doing this, and we're not always going to have the perfect plan in place, like consistently all the time. And being imperfectly consistent is okay. Roll with it. And because that's also part of a healthy lifestyle, right? Because if we're buckled down, like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, and we're just beating ourselves up, like,
no, it's not sustainable. We have to create something that's sustainable. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an amazing message. That was really, really cool.
Yeah. I think otherwise we end up in this vicious cycle of, like you said, these all or nothing principles. And then we are going through a hamster wheel, a yo-yo dieting cycle of gaining and losing and gaining and losing always.
Yeah, that's a terrible place to be.
And that's the mindset component of it, right? And, you know, and just when you're, you know, I think women that are really struggling and working so hard to shred like those 20 pounds or 40 pounds or, you know, it's like working progress and you are looking to arrive somewhere. But then when you arrive there, guess what? You're going to find like you never arrive. Like Kristen was like, it's a journey. Health is a forever thing.
It is. Yeah, there is no destination in wellness. You're always going to be working. And your body changes too. You can't expect everything to be exactly the same as it was.
Yeah, the journey can be incredible.
Yeah, that's the important thing. The important piece, I think, of like functional medicine and health coaching, you know, it's just that how you're framing it, how you're, you know, the goals that you have and how you're looking at them and noticing, am I putting myself on a pressure cooker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. You know, you bring up a good point of it in functional medicine, health coaching, and the value in health coaching is being able to look at the big picture and seeing the different obstacles that one might be facing and looking at things like your motivation for doing it, where you mentioned that end goal, that vision that we all have of where we want to be 6 months, 1 year, but we also need to look at the small, tiny steps in between and celebrate those wins. I think that's really important because yes, the end goal might be 20 pounds, but we need to celebrate that maybe you were never meal prepping before and you have a plan in place and that's reducing stress on your life. You're sleeping better. You're feeling better. You're getting stronger in the gym and you're hitting PRs. Those are all the things, all those wins along the way is what's going to get you to that vision, that end goal in the end.
Oh my God. You just,
that's everything. I love it.
Yeah, that just fills my heart. I got to tell you, Katie, that is such a huge thing. I tell my clients, like, if I have a woman that currently right now, she has huge, huge weight loss goals. She had a lot of health issues. And, you know, I said to her, I just want you to know, I know you have these long goals, but let's also, and that's cool. Like, that's the future. Now let's peel back. Let's look at, let's be present. And, you know, I said, are you going to celebrate if you just like, if you shredded like a half a pound, are you going to celebrate that? Or are you gonna be like, oh, that was only a half a pound. Like
even like breaking away from the scale, because the scale can be the slave master.
Yes. I love that you brought that up because I think that is a huge piece to the journey and what can often get people stuck to. You know, Raquel, you said a half pound. Well, a half pound is exactly where you need to be when we are looking at realistic fat loss goals. And I think this is
exactly,
people miss is that realistic for fat loss is about 0.5 to 2 pounds in a week. And this depends on where you're starting from and what fat loss is different than weight loss.
Yeah.
So with weight loss, we're looking at, you know, just losing weight, which can be water weight, muscle weight, all of those things. When we are looking at fat loss, we are looking at preserving muscle mass. And in that case, it's not going to be this fast journey, but it is a healthy, sustainable approach to reaching that end goal.
Yes. And the small wins make the big picture happen. It's what keeps you trotting along.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we all overlook those small wins. That's why the coach approach is so helpful for people. And it helped me greatly. I was a person that always was looking for big wins. Like I wanted big wins, not little ones. So mm-hmm. I think it helps me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So being mindful of our time today, Katie, what are two simple things a woman over 40 can do today to lose fat and gain muscle?
All right. So number one, I wish I would have started this years ago, is strength train to build muscle. So think of your training sessions as a time to build and no longer as a time to burn as many calories for fat loss. We need to get away from mentality. So I would say strength training 3 to 4 times a week to build muscle mass. My second tip for women in their 40s would be to support their nutrition with adequate amount of protein. So I mentioned before the 1 gram of protein per pound of ideal body weight, but I'm going to take that even further and you're going to have that in your meals throughout the day, but in your post-workout. So post-workout within 30 minutes, you want to get into 20 to 30 grams of protein plus about 25 to 30 grams of carbohydrates to support building muscle, restore your body, better recovery. I will say too, so some of the things that I recommend for a carbohydrate are those fast digesting carbs. So things like rice cakes, fruit, those are really great, but I will take it even a step further. This is where I have some fun and I bring in some simple carbs to my life. So I enjoy my favorites post-workout, things like licorice, Swedish fish, ice cream mixed with chocolate protein powder. And the reason why is because I live in food freedom and these foods are fast digesting carbs that we want to get right back into the muscle. We have just used up our glycogen stores and this is a perfect time to replenish them with those foods without compromising our goals. So I like to bring those little fun things in so that we are not living in a world of restriction.
Wow.
All right. Wow. Okay. And then, so my question on that too is, say, and we didn't ask this and we probably should have, what if you've never strength trained and then you're, you know, it just seems like so overwhelming to even start that. So where would you start with that?
I would encourage that somebody works with a personal trainer for a short period of time. I think it is an investment into your future. It's going to help you feel comfortable in a gym. It's going to help you feel comfortable with form and the ability to actually use those progressive overload principles that I talked about. So being able to lift heavier to support building muscle. So I would encourage that somebody work with a personal trainer and get a structured training program set up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
And it doesn't need to be forever. Short period of time to get you started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Katie. You can connect with Katie on Instagram at Katie Kutnick, Facebook at katie.kutnick, and visit her website at katiekutnick.com for more resources and information.
Thank you so much, you guys, for having me on here today.
It was a great conversation. Thank you.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes.
We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.